had a very good trip today, a tiring one, but it was a good trip. And so we trust that as we meet together around the Word, that it will indeed speak to our hearts in the way which God would have for us to do so. Would you open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We begin reading in verse 28. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then? His son. And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them, In his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms in the feast, which devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, or beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Sure that the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. We see the Lord Jesus in this chapter being confronted by a number of individuals, and particularly those of the religious order. If you look back in verse 13, you'll notice there that the Pharisees and the Herodians are those who are before him trying to catch him in their words. And a little later on, you'll notice in verse 18, the Sadducees, who deny the resurrection, they also tried to catch him and ask him questions which were absolutely foolish questions, actually. But they were seeking not for information. They were seeking to try, if they could, to confound the Lord Jesus Christ so that he would stand there and appear to be one who doesn't really know what's going on. And so we look down in the passage that we read this evening, and you notice in verse 28, it tells us there that it's the scribes now who are before the Lord Jesus, and they are questioning him, seeking in some way to try to, if they can, to make him look bad in the face of the people that are there. And so we look at these various individuals, and we see various responses by the Lord Jesus Christ because of the various motivations of the individuals themselves. And the first one that we're looking at here in the opening verses here, beginning in verse 28, is one who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sought the answers. He was seeking for answers, and seeking for an answer that maybe that the Lord would be able to provide for him. It was an intellectual approach on the part of the individual to the Lord Jesus. And there are many who do that today. There are many individuals who try in some way to approach the Lord Jesus Christ on an intellectual level. Now, when I say that, I don't mean to imply that the way that you approach God is by appearing to be dumb or something of this nature. But we find, though, that man, by his own wisdom, he does not know God. And man, from an intellectual basis, generally speaking, does not approach God or never comes to know God. It seems, for example, that in our world in which we live today, that the more that men know on an intellectual basis, to a great extent, in many instances, the farther away from God that their hearts are turned. And so here's a man who is approaching the Lord Jesus Christ on an intellectual basis, and he comes, you notice in verse 28, he says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Or which is the commandment that supersedes all the other commandments? Which is the greatest of the commandments?" is the idea of what he seems to be asking. Here's a man who seems to be an honest seeker. He seems to be an individual who is seeking information, who is seeking an honest answer or true answer, and he seems to be an individual who is wanting to know truth to come from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he appears to be as you read that first verse. And so the Lord responds to this man. You notice in verse 29, he says to him that the first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment." So here is the Lord Jesus responding to him. And he is showing him the demand of the Word of God as far as the commandments are concerned. You notice the measure that he is speaking here. He's talking about the demand is thou shalt love. Thou shalt love. You see, God is saying to them, this is your responsibility to love God. And is there any reason on the face of this earth that a man can think of why we shouldn't love God? The reasoning which a man can have, what is there a single sensible reason anywhere that a man can come forth with that is plausible from and to any degree to say or even to suggest that we shouldn't love God? Why, it's absolutely absurd to even raise the question almost. Say to a man, do you love God? Or should you love God? And he said, well, no, I have no reason to love God. You would think he was very close to an imbecile, perhaps, or nearly so. But nevertheless, you see, the Lord is saying now that the demand of the Word of God is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the extent is with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. That's a tremendous order, is it not? You see, whenever he speaks about the Lord, and he's saying that first of all, you notice there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You see, God is saying, he makes it expressly clear in his word, and he emphasizes it over and over again in various ways, that there's only one God. There is only one who is before us, and there is only one, and you remember that God also tells us that there is only one Savior. Oh, we have people today who would want to tell us, and of course this is a great problem in our country right now, that we are now becoming so sophisticated in our society until God is being ruled out. In the United States, God is being ruled out. We are saying that God has no right or authority in various areas of society. In the schools, for example. When I was a kid going to school, we had chapel programs. Kids going to school today have no idea what you're talking about. You talk about a chapel program. And when I was in college, we had a chapel program, and you were required to be there. It's against the law in the United States today to require, in a state institution, to require that person to attend a chapel program. It's against the law. So God is being put out. Prayer has been outlawed from the schools. Cussing is all right, but you can't pray. You can cuss in school. That's not against the law. But it's against the law to pray. It's against the law to read the Bible. But it's not against the law to read literature that shouldn't have been published. And so you see, but God tells us, despite all of this, that there is one God. And so the United States now says, well, we are now living in a pluralistic society. That's a good word, isn't it? You know what it means? Oh, we all got our gods. You got your religion, you got yours, you got yours, you got yours, and we got, and right now they used to call us the melting pot, but it's the smelting pot now. And the thing is, what we have there, everybody's got their religion, and you are required by law now to respect everybody's God, equal with yours. But the Word of God says, there's one God. One. And there's only one that God recognizes. And so you see, there is one Lord. And He is, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love Him. He's the one that thy heart is to be devoted to. And notice it's with the whole heart, heartily. That's the idea, to love the Lord heartily. It is not something that we sit back and take a rather passive attitude toward. And all of your life. And with the mind, that is the intellect. And with all of the strength, which is the physical man. So, in Hebrews chapter 10, we find the Lord Jesus Christ being brought before us, and we see the example that he has set, that is set before us through him. By the way, you might be interested in noting here in this passage that these are the very first words recorded in Scripture. That is the Scriptures, this is the Scripture which quotes for you the earliest words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. If somebody wants to know what's the first words that the Lord Jesus spoke, you know, that's recorded in Scripture, here it is. It says in verse 5, Hebrews 10, verse 5, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world..." Well, that's about as quick as you can. When he cometh into the world. Well, as soon as he came into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. He's talking to the Father. And so when he came into the world, he says, you prepared me a body. Very first words that he spoke. And then he says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Why was he here on this earth? To do thy will, O God. And above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which were are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first that he might establish the second covenant, that is. He came to do thy will. Loving the Lord thy God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength, all of his mind. Sure he did. So he says, now this is what is required of man, and the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled it to its greatest extent. And how is this manifested? In verse 31 it says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor yourself. We prove that we love God by loving those round about us. And so now what is the response on the part of this man? This man who is seeking for an answer now, he's come to the Lord, he has given the Lord a question, he sought an answer, now the Lord is giving him an answer. Now what's his response? What is your response when you pick up your Bible and you read? And it tells you what you are supposed to do. I was in the bank yesterday, and this young lady said to me, she says, I need you to give me a book. I need you to get a book for me. I said, what kind of book do you need? She says, I need a book which tells me how to get along with old people, how to get along with these people that are getting so old, cantankerous, my parents and my husband's parents. And she was going on and on about her family situation there and about how these old people are getting... And there I stood, getting about as old as her daddy, and she's asking me for a book.
You've got a book.
I said, the Bible tells you how to get along with old people. The Bible tells you how to get along with all people. Anybody. You go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and you find there how that the Spirit of God tells us that be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on to tell us that speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. And then it says, submitting yourselves to one to another. That's how you get along with people. You submit yourselves one to another. When people are submitting themselves to one another, they get along. They get along. And so you see, I said, you've got a book. And I said, you got your companion passage in Colossians, which tells you similar thing. But I says, there it tells you to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So how are you filled with the Spirit of God? By allowing this word, the word of God, to saturate your life. How do we respond? I don't know how she going to respond to that, whether she felt any better after she got home last night or not. I don't know. She didn't call me and tell me. And next time I see her, I may not ask her, but I might. She may still be looking for a book. And she's already got a book. And so you see, how do we respond? And this man, he comes to the Lord with a question. And the Lord gives him an answer to the question. And so what does he say in verse 32? It says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and all the understanding, with all the soul and with all his strength, and to love his neighbors himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. I agree. That's what he said. Lord, what you say is the truth. I believe what you say.
Well, what do you do about it? Notice what the Lord said.
Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. This man didn't even ask him another question. He shut up. Not far from the kingdom. I sat with my uncle a few years ago now, but I was in the Bahamas, I was getting ready to come to the Bahamas, and I had the opportunity to sit with him. He was 79 years of age, had a blockage near his heart, and I knew that unless something tremendous took place in his life, that he would not be long for this world, and he had never made a profession of faith. 79 years old, been successful in business, an honest man, as honest a man in business as any man you have ever met in your life, I believe. Not a man in town could point a finger at this man and say, this man has done this wrong. I mean, he was just a straight, upright man. That's just all of us do. This man has been tithing in the church that he attended for 40 or 50 years. And his wife told me, my aunt said, before he paid his bills, he wrote out his check for his tithe. Unsaved man now. And she said, when we got married, he taught me to tithe. And she had been professing to be saved for a number of years. And I sat with him. I said, I want an hour of your time. And he gave it to me. And I sat in his kitchen across the table from him. He and I face to face. And I took the word of God and I showed him gospel verses, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And he looked at me and I would say to him, do you believe that? And he said, well, that's what it says. Do you believe that? Well, that's what it says. And right on down the line, verse after verse after verse. And when I finished with the verses, I looked at him and I said, are you willing now to trust the Lord as your Savior? After saying, yeah, that's what it says. Are you willing to trust the Lord as your Savior? I guess not. I guess not. That was his final word to me about his eternal destiny. I had one more conversation with him about a week later. I came to the Bahamas a few days after that. When I got back, he was in Duke University Hospital, had bypass surgery, and he never woke up. But the preacher, when he preached his funeral, said he thought he was a secret disciple. But my uncle told me, I guess not. You see, how do we respond to the Word of God? It's not just enough to have an intellectual approach to God, an intellectual approach to the Word of God, to say, yeah, it's the truth, yeah, I believe that, yeah. What am I willing to do? What is it, what does the Word of God do? It makes a requirement of me. So near, the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. I read the story years ago of the great Houdini. You remember him? This guy who could tie him up. They could put handcuffs on him. They could do all kinds of things and bind him up to stick him in a box and throw him in the river. And he'd get out of that thing somehow. And they had this place, I think it was up in Chicago, in the middle of the winter. They had this big meeting they were going to have, Houdini, they were going to put him in this trunk and with all of these handcuffs on and tied with ropes and chains and all this stuff and throw him in the river. And the river was frozen over, so they cut a little hole in the river, just big enough to drop the trunk down in there. And they did, and they dropped it down inside that icy water. Well, he had a man that was standing on the bank there who was supposed to go down and get him in case something happened. So 2 minutes later, Houdini is not up. 3 minutes passed, and Houdini is not up. 4 minutes and 5 minutes. Now, you don't hold your breath that long underwater. You fellows know that. And finally, after several long minutes, Houdini, or this assistant of his, threw the rope down into the water and down through that hole, a bright yellow rope. And as it went down in there, immediately Houdini grabbed that rope and he pulled himself out. And they asked him, what in the world happened? He said, well, I couldn't find the hole in the ice. Well, how did you live? Well, he said, I got right up next to that ice and said, there's a little layer of air right above that water, between the water and the ice. And he said, I could get a good gulp of air and I could breathe. You see, he was about 6 inches from life. So close. But had he stayed down there a few more minutes, he'd have died. This man here was close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as the record shows, he never entered into life. Might be that there's one in this room tonight that has never trusted the Lord Jesus. It may be that you are one that you've been asking questions or you've been posing questions to various ones, not really wanting to know the answer, but you've been posing questions. Question is, are you ready tonight? Are you interested in your eternal destiny? Or are you just interested in posing questions, seeking to baffle men and women on an intellectual level? This is not the way you find out God. This is not the way you learn. This is not the way you get life. This is not the way you receive life. Your Bible says that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful this evening for Thy Word, and we pray that You'll take now Thy Word and speak to the hearts of those who are here. If there's one in this room tonight, our Father, who has waited and who has prolonged, who has maybe even been pretending to be saved and not really knowing Thyself, may it please Thee to draw them to Thyself this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.